Come on, say it like you mean it. This is God's word. Not Pastor Evans' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being here. Thank you for making your presence known. Thank you for reaching the hearts of these singles. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that the words of my heart and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable. And most of all, I pray that you will use me to articulate what you want them to hear today. And I thank you that every hungry soul in this place and who's watching will leave spiritually fed. And I declare for signs, miracles, wonders, and your promises to be made manifest in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say amen. Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Looks like my notes are not the right notes here. Huh? What's my subject? Look on your notes. What did it say? Fight the lie. Hold on. Let me find this lie. Here we go. Somebody say the devil is a lie. All right. All right. Let me see if this is the right one right here. You know what? I'm just going to go to my sent box. See, you got to trust what you sent, not what you received. All right. Here we go. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm ready. All right. Hold on for a minute. It's loading. It's loading. It's loading. It's loading. By the way, if you're here today and you're not single, and you didn't know that this was for singles, stay in here and you appreciate being married. I'm just waiting on it to load here. I'm waiting. Okay, what's the deal? It's really slow. That's right, play. Just don't make them go to sleep. Well, here are the notes. Why y'all laughing? I'm just, see, these are y'all's notes. These ain't my notes. What's the problem here? Let me see if this is it right here. This ain't it. This ain't it. Huh? What? Yeah, I am on Wi-Fi. Should I not be on Wi-Fi? Okay, let me see here. Let me see if this is it. This still ain't it. All right, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. What kind of music is that? What talk show is that? What talk show is that? This ain't Jeopardy. Hold on, I'm almost there. Let's see here. Documents, all right, good. Let me get down here. Word of Truth 2024. Let me go to sermons right here. Let me go to September. Let me go to the singles. Let me go to this right here. Glory be to God. Are y'all ready now? I got it. Thank you. Let me tell you what I do know. The devil don't want you to get what I got today. Because this right here is going to change your life. So last week, how many were here last week, if you were here last week? Well, last week we started a series called Let's Fight. And so for the whole month of September, what we're doing is we're dividing our church by relationship status, and you probably know that by now. So our 9 o'clock service was for married people. So if you're married and you didn't know it, show up next week at 9 o'clock and you'll get what we have for you. This particular service for 11 is designed for our singles. And so if you missed last week's message, I want to encourage you to go back and watch it, because it's going to help you definitely for today's message. So if you're taking notes or if you're following us, today is called Fight the Lie. Fight the Lie. Listen, and the purpose of today's message is to help singles fight through the lies from the enemy and the lies from the world that God and his ways are not their best option. See, we live right now in a world where it doesn't seem advantageous to live for God or to even trust God and his ways. We live in that kind of world. And it seems like the world is having fun, even though they're on their way to hell and destruction. While on the other hand, as believers, we're in this world and we're suffering in the now, but we're on our way to heaven. The reality is, what the world has to offer looks more attractive than what God has to offer. It's all about the package. Look at your neighbor and say, it's all about the package. See, it's all about the presentation, and the devil knows how to present things to us to make us take a second guess on God and his ways. If I were to take a 2-carat diamond ring and put one in one of those boxes with the light on the inside, and if I were to open up the box and that light hit that 2-carat ring, boy, that ring would look beautiful. But if I took a same ring and put it in a jar that had mud in it, but still put the same ring in there, which one are you going to pick? You are going to pick the one that looks the most attractive. And here's the thing. Once you and I learn through the eyes of the word and through a discerning heart, we'll discover that God's way is better, but our focus must be with him. Because if not, let me tell you something, the devil and the world will lie to you. And it's very easy to believe the lie that the world has because it seems better. But the bigger lie is making God seem like his ways are antiquated. His ways are old. His ways don't have a guarantee that your life here is not going to be better. But I'm going to show you today that God and his ways will not only make your life better here, it'll make it better here while you're on your way to heaven. Say amen to that. All right. So hopefully this is going to inspire you and strengthen you to live for the Lord. So here's point number one as we jump into fight the lie. Everybody say, you got to fight the lie. Here's number one. God is a promise-keeping God. Everybody say, God is a promise-keeping God. See, the enemy wants you to believe that, you know, he wants you to believe the lie that God doesn't keep his promises, nor does he have your best interests at hand. He wants you to believe that. When the enemy doesn't tell us, what he doesn't tell us is that God, listen, is only obligated to keep the promises he makes. I'm going to say that again. The devil wants us to believe the lie that God doesn't keep his promises. But what the devil doesn't tell us is that God is only obligated to keep the promises that he makes. So we're about to read a scripture. We're about to read one that most people learned wrong, heard wrong, quote wrong, and believe wrong. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, I'm reading out of the King James Version. Watch what it says here. It says, but as God is true, our word towards you was not just, it was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, even by Silvanus, even by Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him. Everybody say in him. In him was what? Yes, for all of the promise of God. How many, church? All of the promises of God. Watch this. Here's the key. In him are yes. And in him are amen. Did you catch that? In other words, all all of the promises of God in him are yes and amen. It did not say all the promises of God are yes and amen. It says all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. And this is why the devil will delusion, a lot of believers are delusioned because they feel like God need to keep the promises they want him to make. Or they want them to do, oh, God, I need you to do this. Well, he didn't say now. He would keep the promises you want him to make. It says he keeps the promises that he has made in Christ Jesus. Listen to this in the Amplified. Listen to this. This is so good. But as surely as God is faithful and means what he says, our message to you is not yes and no at the same time. But the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, by Sylvanus, by Timothy, was not yes and no, but has proved to be yes. What's the next two words, church? In him, true and faithful, the divine yes, affirming God's promises. Watch verse 20. But as many as are the promises of God, in who, church? In Christ, they are all answered what? So when God makes a promise to us, he has already put himself in the corner. He's got to say yes. So now the question is, what promises have he made us? Because every promise that God makes, he has to keep. So one of the things we need to understand now as singles is the dynamic of God's promises. We hear God's promises, but God's promises has certain dynamics to it. So what I'm going to do is now go over the dynamics of God's promises because they're not all the same. Here's the first dynamic. Some of God's promises are seasonal. Everybody say seasonal. They're seasonal. This means that some of God's promises are on his timeline and will require some patience from us. Hebrews 6:12 says that you be not slothful, but you need to follow people who through their faith and what else? Their patience, what did they do? They inherit the promises. So some promises are seasonal. Look at your neighbor and say, that's probably why you're not married. Some promises are seasonal. Some promises come, church, listen, with time. Because we're not ready, even though we might think we're ready. Galatians chapter 4, verse 2, the Voice translation says, listen, I am going to explain how all of this works. When a minor inherits an estate from his parents, although he is the owner of everything, he is at the same level as a slave. Until the day set by his father, until the day that is set by his father, until the day that he's set by his father, the minor is subject, listen, to authorities and guardians whom his father has put in charge. It is like that with us. There was a time when we were like children held under the elements and the powers of this world. Watch verse 4. But when the right time arrived, the what? The right time arrived. What happened? Then God sent his son into the world, born of a woman. Listen now to that in the King James. King James, Proverbs 20:21. An inheritance, a blessing that's gotten hastily at the beginning, but at the end it ain't blessed. Listen to Proverbs 20:21 in the New Living Translation. An inheritance or a blessing obtained too early in life is not a blessing in the end. I know you want it. The question is, are you ready for it? You're probably not. That's why you don't have it. Look at your neighbor and say, that was a relevant revelation for me. Listen to Ecclesiastes in the Amplified Version. It says, he has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. Some things are seasonal. Some of God's promises are seasonal. Here's the next thing about God's promises. Some of them are conditional. So what do you mean by that, Pastor Evan? These are promises that are contingent upon what we do. Deuteronomy 28:1 gives us an example of this in the lives of the children of Israel. God said to them, and it shall come to pass if you will hearken or obey the voice of the Lord your God, and then you observe and do all of his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord This is what he's going to do when you do that. He will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And then what's going to happen? All these blessings don't come on you and overtake you. But here's the condition. You got to hearken and obey the voice of the Lord. And then that's when we read, blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the field. In other words, some promises are conditional. Say amen to that. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know salvation is conditional? Jesus has already died. But the condition of salvation only happens when I do my part. Some promises, number three, are situational. Huh. It's because God, listen now, I'm about to say something that you may not believe. God is subject to the will of man. I'm going to say that again. God is subject to the will of man. God cannot override your will unless you yield it to him. And there are times when we decide to do things that don't line up with his will, or sometimes some things may happen to us by others, or circumstances that don't line up with God's best for us happens to us. And this is where now the conditional promises come into play. That's why we do have Romans 8:28. It says, and we know all things work together for good to those who what? Love God. That's a condition. Everything don't work for good if you don't love God. And then it says, and for those who are called according to his purpose. So I want you to see something. It would never have to work together for good if nothing bad had happened. God, see, you have to understand. This is, let me tell you something. I trust God. God don't play checkers. He plays chess. He knows every move all the way to the end. And if you will trust him, he will put the devil in checkmate for your life every single time. God's promises are reliable. This is knowing and believing that regardless of what's going on in your life, and regardless of what has happened to you, and regardless of what you're in the middle of, his promises are reliable. Hebrews 6:13 says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he, God, could swear by no other person that was greater, he swore by himself. He says, surely I will bless you, Abraham, and multiply, and I will multiply you. And so the Bible says in verse 15, and so after he, Abraham, had patiently endured, that's seasonal, he obtained the what? The promise. Listen to the Boyce translation. Remember when God made his promise to Abraham, he had to swear by himself, there being no greater. God is saying, listen. My promises are so reliable that when I make them, I don't need to swear by you. I swear by myself because ain't nobody greater. Can't nobody make me do it. But guess what? I'm a God of my word. I'm not a man that I should lie. So I swear by myself, and that means I got to do it. Everybody say his promises are reliable. Here's the next one. Some of God's promises are unconditional. You say, what does that mean, Pastor Evan? There are some promises that God has made in his word that is going to happen no matter what. Some people call this the sovereignty of God. That means it's going to happen whether you want it to or not. Genesis chapter 9 verse 8 is a good example of this. This is when God had flooded the world. He used Noah to save the animals and people or family. And so verse 9 it says, then God, verse 8, then God told Noah and his sons, I hereby confirm my covenant with you and your descendants. And we are descendants of Noah, just so y'all know that. Verse 10. And with all the animals and that were on the boat with you, the birds and the livestock and all the wild animals, every living creature on the earth. He says, yes, I'm confirming my oath or my promise that I made to you. Never again. Everybody say never again. Never again will floodwaters kill all the living creatures. Never again. Everybody say never again. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. God said, you know what? I don't care how wicked this world gets. I will never let water flood the earth. That's an unconditional promise. And then here's the next one about God's promises. They need to be believable because his promises are not automatic. No, no, no. It takes faith to activate the promises of God. All the promises. Everybody say all the promises. All the promises of God are received by faith, and you must activate your faith for you to experience them. Here's the last one. It is God's promises are durable. that mean they're like the Energizer Bunny. It will keep going and going and going. God's promises have a durable impact because Jesus said in Mark chapter 13 verse 31, heaven and earth is going to pass away. He said, but guess what? My words will never pass away. Everybody say that's doable right there. So now that we understand how God's promises work and the dynamics that come with them, we can see that he's trustworthy to keep them. Here's the question. Touch your neighbor and say, you better pay attention now. Here's the question. What keeps us from believing them? What keeps us from trusting them? What keeps us from waiting on these promises by faith? Here's point number two. To fight the lie, you must recognize the lie. Everybody say, to fight the lie, you got to recognize the lie. Lies, listen, I'm going to show you how lies work. They always have some truth or a half-truth to them to even make them believable. They will always portray or push fear and loss. And that's what makes lies work. And this is where deception comes in. So we're going to look in Genesis 3. And I'm going to point out something that you didn't know, because I'm going to show you today how the devil gets you to believe lies about you. The lies that he tries to get you to believe that God's promises are not going to come to pass in your life. It says now in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle, slick, and sly than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said, this sly serpent said to the woman, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Watch what he tells her. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Everybody say, that's the lie right there. You shall not surely die, for God knows in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now I want you to notice something. Notice that what the devil said to Eve was true. That her eyes would be open. Everybody say, that was true. But what the serpent lied about was the consequences of death. He says, you're not going to die. Well, see, that's now what the part that he didn't tell us. So how does he get these lies to work? How does he get these lies to work on you that would make you date an unsaved man? That will get you to date a woman who might be small, beautiful in the face and small in the waist, but she's dumb as rocks. That was too real, wasn't it? How does he get us to believe the lie? How does it work? Listen, watch this now. This is so good. Lies will always, everybody say always. Lies will always appeal, listen, to our five senses, because that's the natural part of us. And once these five senses produce a feeling of a thought or loss, then guess what? We're on our way to believing. So I'm going to prove this in the life of Eve. Now, what are our five senses? What we see, what we hear, what we touch, what we taste. What's the next one? And what we smell. So watch this now. The first sense that the enemy used on Eve was hearing, because she had a conversation with him. How does faith come, church? By hearing. So she had to hear him first. That's the first sense. Look in verse 6, Genesis 3, 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, everybody say, there's a taste right there. And that this food or this tree was pleasant to the what? They're seeing right there. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. What did she do? She took the fruit. There's touch right there. And then what did she do? She ate it. You say, well, I don't see if she smelled it. Well, if she is like most African Americans, we gonna smell the food before we eat it. Come on, don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. How many smell it before you eat it? See, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. He used Eve's senses. And those senses cause her to believe a lie. And our senses, listen, they are directly connected to our carnal nature, which is directly connected to this world. Watch this, which is the devil's domain. See, 1 John 2 tells us what's in the world, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's in the world. So this is what the devil does. His presentation of sin is so shiny. And so what we don't realize is the devil's playground is our thoughts. Remember, the devil talks in thoughts. His playground is up here. This is where now he plays with our minds. But the playing field is the flesh. And once you lower yourself to the flesh level, you have just lowered yourself to his home court advantage. So he knows what to do. He appeals to those five senses that we have. Say amen to that. And so that's where now the lie begins to be believed. See, so you say, well, Pastor, how does this work? Let's break this down in real time. How many want to be married? Don't lie, raise your hand. Okay, good. That's the majority of y'all. So this is how he talks. He says something like this. Girl, you up in age. You up in age. You ain't gonna never get married. Well, we know that's a lie because based on statistics, half of y'all done been married already. Ooh, I just slapped somebody like, pah! That was like a pimp slap, wasn't it? Pah! No. So then he says, you ain't gonna never get married. And then what he does, he plays on your emotions by pointing out the half truth. The half truth is you are older. But did God say you would never get married? And see, most people are not rooted in the word. So they doubt if they will ever get married. Because I don't know, Pastor Evan, you may say, you know, God ain't made me that promise. I'm just hoping that he'll give me the desire of my heart. Well, the reason why you don't see marriage as a promise because you don't understand the word of God. So I'm about to give you a promise that God will marry you. Get you married. This is a promise right here. Now, who did I say God answers his promises? They only are him in Christ Jesus, right? So the promise I'm about to give you comes from the word of God. I'm about to give you a promise that if you want to get married, God is going to get you married. Right. Now, most people are like, but whoo, really? Okay, watch this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. It is what? Not good that man should be alone. So God decided to do something. He says, I will make a help meet for him. So listen, women, God made women to help men. So maybe this promise of marriage or God giving you a man to help is falling in some of these different dynamics of his promises. Maybe marriage as a single woman is falling in the conditional promise category because maybe you're not ready to be a helpmeet. Oh no, he's not going to bring you somebody to help and you don't want to help. Your problem is, I need some help. Help me, Lord. Send a man to help me. I need help with daycare. I need help with diapers. I need help with this. I need help around the house. He sent you to be a help. So guess what? That promise is conditional to you until you realize that the flip side is really what the thing is. He designed you to be the helper and not the man to help you. I'm preaching good today. Pastor Evan, you better preach that word, man of God. Maybe this promise of marriage falls under the seasonal category for you. Although you think you're ready, but you're really not. Maybe this promise of marriage, because let me tell you something. As long as there are men, there's always a need for a help me. Say amen to that. Maybe it falls under you. Maybe you're not believing that God is reliable to do it. And see, there are two ways to show that you trust God and that he's reliable to bring these promises to pass in your life. It's in two areas, in your money and in your body. See, if you know he's reliable, you can give him first your money and watch him work the rest of it out. But if you don't trust him to be reliable, oh, so you want to trust him to get a man, but you don't want to trust him to multiply your money, you are deceived. And then your body. You won't give other people pieces of it if you really relied on him to be able to wait on him to do what he needs to do. Say amen to that. And let me say this to the men, because I know we have some, it's a few. God ain't going to send you a help meet until you need some help, brother. My question to you is, do you have enough going on in your life to even need some help? Oh my God. Now, let me take it to the next level. Do you even want some help? Or do you want help status on the shacket level? Okay, let me hurry up. So here's the question. We're going to land this plane here. How do we defeat the lie once we hear it? Hear that lie. Oh, you ain't gonna never get married. Well, Pastor Evan just gave you a promise. As long as there are men in the earth, God, they need a help meet. The question is, are you in position for God to do it? Do you have enough waiting time? See, y'all know, can I tell y'all a secret? Y'all know how I got married so fast, remarried so fast. Y'all know how to do it. Y'all know how that happened. Cause I was in my purpose, doing what God called me to do. And because what I had to do was so much, he had to send me some help. See, some of y'all ain't doing nothing. I'm living my best life. Yeah, but what are you seeking first? The kingdom of God. Because he said he will add the things in your life that you need. Now you're not. Amen. You exposing yourself on Instagram. I'm going to leave it right there. Here's point number three, real quick. What do we do once we hear the lie and experience the lie? Here's number three. You must persist to resist. Everybody say, I must persist to resist. And see, James chapter 4 verse 7, I'm hurrying up here. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Read it with me, church. Resist the who? Resist the who? Resist the, because that's where the lies are coming from. Resist the devil, and what's going to happen? He is going to flee from you. Watch verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Listen, church. It is impossible to resist until you submit. Oh, I'm going to say that again. It is impossible to resist until you submit. So here's the question. What are you resisting? You're resisting the lies and the temptations that's coming your way. The only reason you date somebody that you know ain't qualified is because you've accepted a lie. God cannot bring his best for you. Okay. I might say that next week. Jesus had to resist the devil three times before he fled. Resisting, watch this now, requires some level of muscle. You know how they have resistance? They got these resistance bands and they're designed to like develop muscles. Well, listen, when you resist the devil long enough, you get stronger now when temptation comes. Temptations don't go away though. They just become less powerful. Because they don't go away. Listen, because if you can't resist temptation now, what makes you think you will be able to resist opportunities to commit adultery when you get married?
Ooh, I got to walk away from the pulpit right there with him.
Did you hear what I said? I said, if you can't resist him now, Pastor, you don't know how fine he was. It don't matter. He can be fine as a dime with some change left over. He done took something from you and you didn't get nothing from him. You might have got some feelings, but that's about it. No. You got to be able to resist. Everybody say resist. You got to be able to resist. And the more you resist, the more stronger you get, because the temptations are not going to stop. Say amen to that. So how do we apply the message today? This is how we're going to apply it. What lie or lies has the enemy told you? This is your homework assignment. Go home, write down what these lies are, and I need you to bring them back next week. We're going to put them on the altar and get broke. We're going to break free from the lie. Oh, it's going to be a deliverance service next week. Yeah. Y'all want to snot and cry? Yeah, that's what we're going to do next week. I want you to write down the lies. I ain't going to read them. Bring it on a piece of paper, fold the paper in half, put it right here. Because he's lying to a lot of y'all. How do you know he's lying? Because your current actions are not biblical. Wow. Yeah. He lied. You ain't gonna be able to start that business. You ain't got enough money. Well, what does you starting a business have anything to do with how much money you got? See, I've discovered that if God's will is for me to do something, it is up to him to provide the provision for me to do it. I didn't command myself to do it. If it's something he wants me to do, then that means it is his responsibility to provide all the resources for it to happen. So if he wants you to start a business, stop trusting in the lie that says you can't. Amen. See, some of you all haven't got past the lie that you're ugly. Ooh, he's stepping in some deep stuff today, ain't he? Ooh, I stepped right in some poop, you know. That's another word for poop. Y'all know what that word is, right? Shake and bake. That's what it is. How you gonna expect somebody to like you and you don't like you? See, you really don't believe that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. What lie has the devil told you that you're not? That lie probably traces all the way back to when you were in the sixth grade and they called you Nappy Head. I'm trying to get free. Somebody need to get free from Nappy Head this morning. Just get free right now in the name of Jesus. Get free from that Nappy Head lie. You say, well, Pastor, my head was nappy. You still fearfully and wonderfully made with nappy hair. My hair does not determine how fearfully and wonderfully made I am. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made because the God of the universe made me in his image, and it ain't got nothing to do with what I can see, taste, touch, or feel. I am fearfully made in his image, and can't nobody do nothing about that. Say amen to that. So go home, write down the lies. Bring them back next week. We're going to put them on the altar. Here's number two. What door from your five senses is he using, the devil, is he using to get you to doubt, be in fear, or not trust God's promises for your life? I just heard the Lord tell me something. I don't want you to respond to this. Everybody just look forward. Just look forward. Because the devil has told, it's more than one person, but he's told you, you'll never get married because you have a disease. That's a lie. Number one, because God is a supernatural healer. See, don't believe that lie. So, what door from your five senses is he using to cause you to doubt? Here's the last one. close the door today by repenting to God. And then keep the door closed by renewing your mind and confessing with your mouth and keeping your flesh sacrificed. Because when you sacrifice your flesh on the altar, you become a living sacrifice. And the Bible says that's holy and acceptable. And so there are some of you in this room today, you believe some lies to the point where you've opened up your life to what I'm going to call generational lies. Did you know there is a such thing as generational lies? See, there are generational curses, you know. Your great, 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 great grandmama was a single mother. She got, you know, teenage pregnancy and it just kept going. It just kept going. It just kept going. That's generational. But there are some generational lies. And some of you have believed some of these generational lies. This has always been in my family. It's in my family. I can't do nothing about that. The lie is you're no longer a part of that family. You are now part of the family of God. You are under a new bloodline. You are now in Christ, and because you're in Him, all things are made new. In fact, raise your hand right there. Say, I'm under a new bloodline. No curse of the devil. No generational lie. No generational deceit. No generational problem can flow in my life anymore. The blood of Jesus has stopped every lie, every curse in the name of Jesus. And I receive today a new bloodline in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you can put your hands down. Maybe you're here today and you're not even saved.